It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 12. We're going to read from verse 20 through verse 37. John chapter 12, verse 20 through verse 37. Please that you open your Bible so that you can follow along with me. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles. Again, John chapter 12, beginning to read with verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tells Jesus. Jesus followed them, saying, The hour is come. Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying that death, what death he shall die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come unto you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goes. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Let's begin with prayer before we start the study today. Father, I thank and praise you for this opportunity to come together and to study your precious word. Each and every time that we have, it's just so wonderful, it's so glorious that we can take these few minutes and open your word and spend this time together. I ask for your direction, your power. I ask for your leadership, Lord, please, that you will guide and lead us, and every word that you want proclaimed will be. Every word of yours will be heard too, Lord, please, that we listen very carefully to what you say today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We enjoy this study. We love the Word of God. We find in the 20th verse of chapter 12 that we have certain of the Greeks that were among them. They came up to worship at the feast. We've discussed this, kind of covered this. And they came therefore to Philip. And Philip, they inquired, May we see Jesus? And when Philip come to tell Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went to tell Jesus. I believe that when Jesus is speaking this, he's not only talking to his disciples, but I too believe that he is talking to these Greeks. I think they followed along as they were wondering and inquiring of the Lord Jesus if they could see him and speak to him. And this is the answer that the Lord Jesus had to say. Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And it's a little different than we have back in John chapter 2, if you'd like to turn back there with me. John chapter 2, we have John chapter 2, verse 4. Jesus said to her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." You see, when he started his ministry, there was a period of about 3 years that was to take place, to be between the second chapter and the 12th chapter. But now he says the hour is come. In the second chapter he said, "But my hour is not yet come." And so there was Jesus was sent to this earth for a purpose, and that purpose was to proclaim clearly and show clearly that he was God, which he did, and then, of course, to die on the cross of Calvary. And for him to step forward, as was presented here, it didn't take place in the second chapter, but it's beginning to take place here in the 12th chapter as he begins to move to the last hours of his life here upon earth. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And as we talked last time, the words there, "the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified," we would think it should say to be crucified. That is how that the glory is going to come, is through the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is being obedient to his Father. His Father sent him here to seek and to save those that are lost, which is you and me. Each and every one of us have fallen into the curse of sin, and we need to be redeemed. And only can we be redeemed through the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to die on the cross. That will bring glory unto the Father. And that's what's going to be presented here, that the Son of Man should be glorified. The glory being unto the Father, and unto the Son, and unto the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful day we have that we can study the Word of God and see such beautiful pictures of this. But John chapter 2, verse 4, it wasn't to be at that time. Here in John chapter 12, verse 23, it's coming to pass. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." Verse 24. We have a wonderful illustration here in the past time we were together last time, while we spent just a few minutes with it. I want to spend just a little bit more time today, and we need to see very clearly what is taking place here. We have a wonderful illustration. Jesus is using a seed to show and to tell us what's going to take place. Of itself, a seed is weak and useless. When it's planted, it dies and becomes fruitful. Now, we understand that. We understand as we plant in this area why it would be soybeans or corn or wheat. And as you plant that seed, and if you look under that seed dies. It deteriorates and dies. And yet, almost immediately upon this taking place, life begins to come forth out of that dead seed. And that's exactly what the illustration that the Lord Jesus is giving us. That's exactly what he's going to do for us upon the cross as we're moving through the 12th chapter of John. He will go to the cross of Calvary. He will die there, and then he will bring forth life, fruit. And that's what the beautiful picture we have with the planting of the seed. And again, of itself, the seed's useless. It's very weak. When it's planted, it dies, then it becomes fruitful. The only way it can achieve its goal is to be planted in the ground and die. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. The only way to achieve the goal that he was set to do is that he will die on the cross of Calvary. Then, of course, bring forth life as he rose from the dead. We know that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and until we see Jesus and realize that he died on that cross for me, he died on that cross for you as well, and when you come to him for salvation, this is a personal relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus. It's not just that you know about his death, know about his resurrection, know about the the life of the Lord Jesus, we need to know Him. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit clearer. It's so important that we see the Lord Jesus. These Greeks, I believe, were standing before the Lord Jesus. They could see Him. And so if you think it's just enough to know Him in that manner, and that's enough, I'm afraid you're mistaken. And I believe that you're going to fall short when it comes to thinking you're going to go on to glory and be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. I believe that you're going to wake up after death and find yourself in hell. And I don't want that to happen. I want you to be very careful and examine your own life to see the relationship you have with the Lord Jesus. These Greeks could see Jesus, physically see Him. And yet Jesus is going on to tell him that there's more than just that. And immediately he comes when he begins, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily." Remember, we've always said what those words are quick to say. Verily, verily. Listen. Listen very carefully. Listen ever so intently. I've got something to say. I say to you, except a corn of wheat shall fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It's wonderful to see this example that he's presenting unto the Greeks. And I want you to see it as well, because we too are Gentiles. We need to see that Jesus Christ, yes, went to the cross of Calvary. Jesus himself, as they could see him. And I believe that you can see the Lord Jesus on the pages of the Scripture. I believe that you don't question, many of you, some maybe you do, but many of you do not question that Jesus lived. You don't question that Jesus died. But the problem is this personal relationship. Jesus continues to say, you not only have to see me, but you become a part of me through the death. You must die. Now, we're going to get into that as we look through this this scripture here. Now, again, as we look at verse 24 and 25, we see that this seed has been buried, this seed died, and this seed began then to produce fruit. Well, that's the picture the Lord Jesus gave to these Greeks. And that's a picture that we need to begin with now. Now let's go on to verse 25. And he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. This is a conversation that he's having with these Greeks and to the disciples that were there with him. You can know about the Lord Jesus, but until you see the death, burial, and resurrection and comprehend what that means to you, then and only then will it mean salvation for you. You must recognize that the death of Jesus was an act of redemption. The death of Jesus was an act of redemption. He gave his life in death so that we might have life. You don't know until Jesus, you don't know Jesus until you give your life to him. He can be your salvation from sin if you will come by faith to Him. We must know Him. Until you give your life to Him. That's more than just knowing about Jesus. These Greeks are standing there and looking unto the Lord Jesus. They could see Him. But Jesus says there's more. You must trust in me, you must come by faith to me, and you must believe, because as the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies and abides alone, but if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And we need to die to ourselves, turn from our ways, turn from those ways unto the Lord Jesus, trust in Him, and follow Him. Again, as the Greeks could see Jesus, Jesus tells them there's more. He tells them, "I'm going to die." He tells them, "I'm going to be put in the ground, except it die." And when it dies, it produces fruit. He died, he rose again. Oh, my friend, don't miss the personal relationship you need with the Lord Jesus. The people that put all their pleasure into this life. As we read verse 25, he that loveth his life, if you put all your pleasure into this life, your desire is to hang on to and to hoard as much money as you possibly can. Maybe your desire is that you retire and that you sit back and, okay, now I've accomplished what I want. I can do whatever I want to do. Your love for money and your love for material gain, whether it be for big cars or big houses or big boats, whether it comes with a big bank account, everything is set in your life upon this self-gratification. You want to honor self. You're lifting self up in all those ways. The Lord Jesus said in his words, die to self. He that loveth his life shall lose it. Do you love this life in that manner? Have you lived this life in the desire of things, always things? You want more money. You always want a different car. Never are you quite pleased. You always are looking onward into something else, thinking that, well, once I purchase that, once I get this much money in my bank account, then will I be able to relax and enjoy life. Well, my friend, you're going to lose it all because your God is that money. Your God is those possessions. And there will be a day that you're going to lose it all. So if everything that you have is set in that, do you like all the things that this world has to offer? So many people do so much in this life to satisfy themselves. They love this life. Well, be prepared because you're going to lose it all. You're going to lose everything. The Scripture is very clear that this life is just as a vapor. That's how long it lasts. And you see, so you're willing to spend your time and your efforts to satisfy yourself for a fleeting moment as a vapor in relationship to eternity. And there is eternal life. Now that life can be spent in the presence of the Lord Jesus, in joy and happiness that matches nothing we've ever experienced here. Or that life is just as eternal in the pits of hell, in the lake of fire. You're going to spend it in one or the other. And you're not even going to get to take along with you your possessions that you have so gained here upon this life. You have lived all of your life hoarding and protecting and desiring to have this money. And you have neglected Jesus Christ. Will you please come to the Lord Jesus? Because you're going to lose it. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's your philosophy, isn't it? Maybe you're different than that and you're backing up the other way and you're saying, now, I don't waste money. But do you love money? Is that your love? Is that your God? Because it doesn't matter whether you're wasting it or whether you just love it. You've left God out of your life. You have forgotten Jesus Christ and you've made that money your God. You're going to lose it. It's all gone. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. There's another side to this. There's, as they say, the rest of the story. The first part of this story is, he that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Are you willing to turn away from this wicked life? You don't desire the things. Yes, we enjoy the things of this life, but they are not your God. Our goal, our need, our desire of our heart is that we praise and honor God, that we glorify Him, not glorify self. So we need to be very careful as we look at the things and how we set our priorities in our life. Because if we would look very carefully, we will recognize and realize that we are desiring to please self. Do we really know the Lord Jesus as our Savior? Yes, I know about Him. Yes, I know He lived. Yes, I know He went to the cross. I believe He went to the cross. I believe He died for the sins of the world. You can believe all those things. These Greeks were standing before the Lord Jesus. But have you recognized your problem? Those sins that He took to the cross with Him, when He was nailed upon that cross, some of those sins were yours. Some of those sins were mine. And if we come by faith to Jesus and trust in Him, then and then alone, will that gift that was offered to us, will we be able to take care of our sin problem? Will we have this act of redemption that Jesus has given us? The death of Jesus was an act of redemption. He died on the cross for you and for me. Do you recognize that you're a sinner and you're lost and going to hell? Do you recognize that? I think this is the dividing point here. Do you recognize that? If you said, no, I don't believe I'm not that bad. Yes, you are. We're born into sin. You need a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. Don't trust in any works that you're producing that you think you're able to do. Come by faith to Jesus and Jesus alone. He's the one that died on the cross to take your sin away. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever confess with thy mouth, we see Jesus with our eyes, don't we? Confess with thy mouth, but believe in thine heart that God hath raised, He hath taken us, our sin away. He hath raised us from the dead. It's wonderful as He has come by faith. If we'll come by faith to Him. Let's go back to Romans very quickly. It's a beautiful, beautiful scripture as we look through those. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved in the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I like to read the scripture. That way I'm not misquoting it. For the scripture saith that whosoever, believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please, that you don't miss that. That you don't miss that at all. It's so important that you see the Lord Jesus. And as these Greeks come to see Jesus, yes, He saw Him physically. But Jesus says there's more. You have to take part in my death. You have to become and come to the cross where I'm going to die because I'm taking your sins away. You have to meet me there and trust in me and follow me. He that loveth his life, if you love this life, you're in terrible trouble because you're going to lose it. He that hateth his life, you've never cared much for this life because your mind and your heart is upon pleasing the Lord Jesus. Then you shall keep it unto life eternal. It's going to be wonderful walking with the Lord Jesus. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Look at those sweet words. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Eternal life comes from the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies. Then it bringeth forth much fruit. Come by faith to Jesus Christ. Take part in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the words that were spoken unto these Greeks and unto the disciples as well. Follow me. I'm on my way to the cross. Will you please listen and follow the Lord Jesus? Because if you'll turn away from the desires and stop making this world your God and begin to serve and to praise and honor the Lord Jesus Christ, come by faith to him and be saved. Have your sins forgiven. Don't miss this. Don't miss this opportunity that you have today. Today is the day of salvation. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He's going to be glorified by the cross of Calvary. And then it went on in verse 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Jesus is going to the cross of Calvary. We must be a part of that. We must trust by faith in the Lord Jesus, knowing he has taken our sins away. He's going to the cross of Calvary. We need to turn our life around. Stop loving so many things of this life. And until we do that, we will not recognize the Lord Jesus. We must turn away from the things of this world and turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop making our money and our possessions our God. And make him the God of the world, the God of the universe, the creator of the world. Make him our God. He that loveth his life shall lose it, but he that hateth his life. If you don't get so excited and wound up and involved with this life, yes, there's things here that we can enjoy, but please don't put them ahead of praising God, of acknowledging your sin, realizing you're lost and you're going to die, if you don't come to Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is the only way. He died on the cross of Calvary for your sin, not for his. This is all done for you and for me, not for him. He's perfect. But he came to this earth. His hour is come, different than John 2:4, where it said, My hour is not yet come. His hour is come to do what he was born upon this earth to do. And that's to save us. But you must come by faith to him. You must trust in him today. Follow me. I'm on my way to the cross. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Those are precious words. He told those Greeks, Trust in me. I am your Savior. I'm on the way to the cross. As this grain of wheat must be buried in the ground, fall into the ground and die, it's going to abide alone. Jesus did. He bare all our sins upon his body that day. He took all his sins. All our sins. I'm sorry, not his. He sinned not. All of our sins. He took them to the cross of Calvary, and he took every one of them away. But unless you come by faith, again, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus. That's exactly what he was telling the Greeks. Come to me. As we talked in verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. That's the first evidence of a true relationship with Jesus Christ, that true personal relationship. You begin to follow. My dear friend, look at your heart. Come to Jesus today.
What are you going to do about Jesus?